Morning. If you guys are keeping Heaven Points daily log, you gain 10 extra points today for being here on a snow day. So, good job. All right. At this point, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll dive in fairly quickly, but at this point, you've all heard me say this is one of my favorite times of the year. From the music perspective, and I love the music, you all know that, but it really can be a little overdone, and I mean, come on, did we really need a Justin Bieber Christmas album? And I did a little more research on that. Did you know Ozzy Osbourne had a Christmas album? Weird, right? Wasn't good, just so you know, and just so weird to me. But anyway, there's not quite like a time of year that we see that kind of fanfare where we're writing new songs and new music all the time. Everybody's selling that idea. Really, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? We know the song. What other time do we see anything like this? We don't. Every single movie, TV show, whatever TV series you watch or radio station is inundating us with the same message. And you know what? I love it because even though you may not see it or recognize it, it still points to Jesus. This is his big old party, and I'm excited about that. There is a hope that is renewed every single year. I mean, we see lights, and we see trees, and we see presents, and it gets us into gear, right? It's setting kind of a tone for the idea of what we're doing. We're celebrating. We're celebrating a birth. It really is, and I don't use this term loosely. I use it very, very seriously. It's a glorious time all the way around. And here's the thing. I want us to see this too. It goes away. It goes away. I mean, how many of you are taking your stuff down the day after Christmas? That's good for you, right? I'll tell you what. In our household, its mindset is let's get it down. Let's get it on. Let's get our house back in order. And I mean, maybe not all of it, but the majority of it comes down. And it's not because we want to get rid of Christmas. It's just like, okay, we're moving back into our time of frame. You're just kind of ready to move into the new season, right? If you don't take note of this, I want to help you take note of it now because I see a weird season happen starting December 26th. It's a weird thing. It's almost like there's disappointment in the faces of people. It's the weirdest thing to watch. It's just a little bit, but it's there. Everything kind of goes back to normal, you know, and the lights come down, and the lines at Walmart are normal again, and the music is normal again, and the day starts back to take on a normal frame of mind. And this is where I want to connect with you today. And here's why. I mean, Brian said it somewhat. I want to say it some more. As believers, we know that this birth of Christ, it's a lifelong celebration, right? We're constantly looking back at his life. We go through the book all the time, and we read his stories, and we are a people who are always in waiting for Christ. We walk through this Advent season every year, Advent meaning the coming or the arrival of the birth. It's kind of a weird and cool time. We know how the story goes as believers, but remembering the time that led us up to this, it's really vital for all of us. We kind of get to look back at the coming of the Christ child, and we marvel. Or we should. Marvel at the power of Christ that lived out. And then we marvel at the power of Christ that lives in us today through the work of the Holy Spirit. So here is where we are going to begin this journey today. I want us to lean into this part of the Christmas story that does not end. I want us to lean into the things that are true for all of us who proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. So today what we're going to talk about is the very visible glory of God. We're going to talk about the glory of God a lot this season, but his visible glory that continues after this season and when it's over in our mindset, that's where I want to park. I want to change our mindset a bit. So what I would like us to do is kind of set a stage. We're going to be looking at this passage twice the next 2 weeks. And let me tell you, it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for next week, okay? Because we're going to look at it from a different perspective next week. But we're going to be looking at the Christ's birth. And this passage, we're going to be revisiting again next week. We're going to see it's worth revisiting it a couple times. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. If you would follow along with me, either on the screen or in your own Bibles. And in the same region where the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. That should be a song. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. There's a lot that happens in that section. I want to make sure we recognize it because we're going to hit on the key parts of it. But here's what has stuck out to me for years, and it really has. If I were living in that time, if I were a rabbi at that time and I knew the Old Testament, I knew it well, and I knew that there was going to be this coming king, no matter where I parked on whether he was going to come in a child form or a warrior form out of heaven, I don't know. But here's what I'm saying. If I'm the rabbi and someone were to come to me and say, if God's going to show his glory and he's going to reveal the Messiah, who do you think he's going to reveal it to first, rabbi? I would say, I don't know. I have no clue, but I can guarantee you this. I would not say to them, I bet it's through the shepherd. And I want to give you a little history about shepherds, because we think of shepherds in the nativity scene. And we'll dress our kids up in the cute little robes with the little thing wrapped around their head, and it's the cutest thing, right? Let me tell you something. This will change your mind next time your kid's going to be in a nativity scene. The shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were. They were low, 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 and they were viewed as such. They could not be trusted. In fact, in many situations, they wouldn't even be looked at. They would never be allowed to hold a public office. If they were a testimony to a crime that took place, they wouldn't even bring them into court because they could not be trusted. Most Jews didn't even buy directly from shepherds because they just assumed that was stolen goods anyway. Now, this is an important issue because many of these shepherds, these hired hands, would take the sheep that they were being entrusted, right? And they would take them further away so as the land would die off and the new season has not come yet and there's nothing for these sheep to graze on, they would take them sometimes months of a walk away. And they were the overseers of these sheep, and these sheep would graze while this growth hasn't taken place in these new lands, and they would have kids, right? And these kids, and it's the proper term for sheep, by the way. I know people looked at me like, he's talking about human babies in first service. No, I'm talking about kids to sheep. Many of these shepherds, they would gather these new kids, right? And they would say, so let's say they had 100 new kids that were born. They would come back with only 20. And the owners wouldn't know any different because they could take any of these new kids and they could sell them for their own profit and put it in because there was nobody around that could say any different. They had this very nasty reputation as being nothing more than an untrustworthy thief. And yet, the glory of God shone all around them. They are on watch. They don't want to lose a sheep because that the sheep that they were entrusted, if they lost one, they lose the pay for that sheep. So they're on super alert mode, right? They're ready for anything to come their way. And then boom, the glory of God has shone all around them. Now this is a total disruption. And I can try to give you the best possible way that looks like in my own life. Because when I'm driving my pickup and I have my Pioneer radio system with Bluetooth hooked up to it. And while I love technology, I do not like this part of technology. Because somehow Bluetooth hasn't figured out how to be quiet when it rings my phone. See, when I'm listening to Skinner as I'm driving down the road and I'm cranking up, give me three steps, mister, and then all of a sudden, it happens so quickly, right? The music goes away and the ringing of my phone begins, and it's this gut-wrenching, head-piercing ring that's screaming louder than the music could ever even play. It stops me dead in my tracks. If I'm driving down 70, I always have to hit the brakes because I'm fearing I'm in a rollover accident at this moment. It's loud. My wife hates driving my pickup. I want to make sure you hear this because she hates it with a passion. And here's why. That ridiculous phone. She hates when I tell her, then don't have your Bluetooth on. Right? That's the easiest way to do it, but she don't want to forget it later in her car. Okay, well, then keep it on. And I secretly love to call her when I know she's in my pickup. It's one of the best things in the world because I know she's screaming at me every time. I never have a real reason to call her. I just know she's jumping. But I want to make sure you understand. I kind of want to set that tone for you. It's an intense thing that has taken place. They're already prepared, and yet this amplified, incredible God moment takes place. They were not ready for this. So I want to make sure you understand this. The glory of God's already around them that night. But now it's showing up in an intense, amplified way. But sometimes, even though the glory of God is always around, sometimes it amplifies differently in certain times, in certain events, in certain seasons in life. And what it looks like is what we're going to be talking about today. What does it look like when we see His amplified, visible glory? And the first thing we see is this. His amplified visible glory does this. His visible glory will unmask us. His visible glory will unmask us. I've seen this, and I've heard it too many times in ministry, that when we encounter the glory of God, we really start to see how bad we really are. That includes me. You feel the weight of your brokenness when you encounter Him. Let's remember who these shepherds are. Now, I gave you a pretty good history. They were not good people, and yet here they are, the glory of God shown all around them. They encounter the glory of God, and boom, they're unmasked. They're exposed before God. It brings them to this place of desperation. They don't want to be seen for who they are, but they can't hide from the glory of God. And in this case, I'm talking about being so desperate when you come before the glory of God and recognize, I need forgiveness. Look, I know we can all limp in here week to week. And we can face His glory, and it can call us out. It's no different, though, for the shepherds. I want us to see this. Their reaction is what many of us experience when we come face to face with the glory of God. They were terrified, right? Do you see that? They feared. They're terrified because they have been unmasked and they're seen by the one who can see it all. They have been completely exposed and it makes them uncomfortable. All of us have probably felt it in some level or another before, right? The idea that we feel intensified, like the pastor's been hanging out with us for the past week and it makes us really uncomfortable what he's preaching on because that's what I'm dealing with and nobody else is dealing with. That kind of thing where you just feel like God's talking directly to you. But how many of you experience this, that idea where you feel less bad about yourself based on who you're hanging out with, right? I do. When I'm with me, myself, and I, or better yet, when I'm walking through some messy situation with someone, I feel pretty good old boy about myself. I know I'm not perfect. I'm still pretty good, right? I mean, it's easy to feel that way. And then I get around people who are all in kingdom workers, who are just full blast Jesus and no mountain can get in their way. And then I begin to look at myself and I begin to reevaluate. I'm not that. I wish I was that. I'm not that. I complain that my truck is cold. I get mad because they only put in one shot of espresso. I paid for two shots, right? And then you meet that believer. It just seems to have it all together. And you begin to evaluate yourself. And being around those kind of people. Look, I may be a pastor, but when I get around people who love the Lord well and is very visible, it intimidates me a lot of times. Because it's not because God's not using me and hasn't used me. It's not that. It's because I've been exposed. And I start to see how good God really is. And then I start to see my brokenness more than I want. And the more that we're around the glory of God, the more it exposes us. And this is why we're all terrified, friends, because the glory of God shows up. And for the shepherds, they can't hide. For the shepherds, they can't hide behind the fact that their owners that entrusted them those sheep have no clue. God knows. They can't hide. Neither can we. In the middle of a field or out in the woods hunting or sitting in a church sanctuary or driving home in your car or even in the still of your day, when the glory of God becomes visible, we start to feel the true weight of who we are. Our confidence in ourselves kind of melts away in the midst of God's glory. And it's all over Scripture too, isn't it? I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is an incredible prophet, right? And I give him mad respect. This incredible prophet, and yet it says he lays his eyes on God and his glory. You know what happens next? He sees the glory of God right before him. His response is this: I'm unmasked, I'm exposed, woe is me. This incredible prophet of God. Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. Isaiah has fully experienced the weight of God's glory. He's fully experiencing the need for a Savior and forgiveness in his life. And here's the thing. See, this feels heavy and this feels gross. Derek, it's Christmas. We should be smiling and cheering. We will, because here's the beauty. God's glory doesn't keep us here, does it? Check me on this now. God's glory does not keep us here. What does it look like when we see his amplified visible glory? The second thing we see is this. The visible glory shifts our fear to joy. His visible glory shifts our fear to joy. Look at the shift in verse 10. And the angel said to them, two incredible words, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They're terrified. They're face to face. They see the full glory of God sitting before them. They feel exposed. They feel gross. I am a woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. God does not let them stay there in their fear, right? Now, here's the thing. You can't hide a single thing from God. And I mean, he knows your thoughts, right? He knows everything about you. And when you feel the weight of being found out, it leads you to fear. But he won't let fear stay gripped on you. See, I come out of a season of being an addict, and when I came out of that season of being an addict, and the first time I came to the church doors, and there I am in Council Grove, the last people that I did something wrong to, something mean to, I destroyed some of their property, right? Very, very vile thought process. I want to destroy that. And I knew them, and I knew they were believers. My first Sunday, I show up to church. Who are the greeters that day? You got to be kidding me, Jack. God, seriously, are you seriously going to make me go through this? Fear has now shown up on me. The glory of God has shown all around. I've seen him. I owe him three Sundays because Kurt visited me three times. So I owe him those three Sundays to show up into church. Are you kidding me? Why does Rex and Susan have to be there? Why is it them at the door? But I'm a man. I'm going to face it. And I walk in. And they approach me. And so here it came. We know what you did, right? That's what I'm waiting to hear. And as if the angel himself spoke in that moment, fear not. Susan comes in and she embraces me. You know I don't like hugging, right? She hugs me with an unrelenting, forgiving hug. and spoke these words. Man, we have been praying for this day for so long, Derek. Rex's big old beastly bear paw hand on my back. Guy's like 8 foot. Just making it sound worse than it was, okay? And he puts his hand on me. He says, glory to God. And they just said, we love you're here. Fear not took place in that moment. Exposed for who I was standing there, right? I mean, I'd mocked God for years. And here I am. I'm entering his house. God exposing me and my fears. And now all of a sudden this fear seems intensified. And he says, no, no, no. That does not belong to you, son. Let me take it. Their hug was intense for me, as it was intense for the shepherds to hear. Fear not. How am I not to fear? And this is the God of all creation, seeing me for who I fully am. I mean, if Isaiah is saying that he is a man of unclean lips, and I remember, I love Isaiah. Isaiah is this great guy, but he says he's a man of unclean lips. Then who am I? The declaration to the shepherds and to all of us sitting in this room right now, you may feel yuck and God says, fear not. You may say, I'm not worthy. He goes, it doesn't matter. Fear not. Why would we not fear? Well, the next declaration that is made is what explains it all. Because I bring to you what, friends? What does the angel say he brings? Good news. Oh, I'm all about good news. Have you guys heard that good news yet? Man, I pray you have. See, we love quoting John 3:16, right? But have you heard the second part? See, I love the second part more than I love the first. Yeah, God came, right? He came through Jesus. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God made a way for me out of wrath. God made a way for you out of wrath. This Christ child changes every single thing. And that should in every way bring our shift out of fear and into joy. And I know it doesn't feel like a gift when you are made aware of how fallen you are, or when you're made aware that your sin has been exposed, but it really is a gift. Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came to save. And that promise is incredible because he replaces that condemnation that the enemy loves to breathe inside of me. And he says, no, 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 I want to replace that with joy. And so what happens next is it's really awesome. They encounter this incredible, very visible glory of God. And they do what next? They trust and they seek. Verse 15 here it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Now look, what happened here is important because they didn't just stop and go, whoa, did this just happen? Did we get a little bit too much eggnog in us? I believe they were drinking it back then. They didn't stammer in fear anymore, did they? They didn't. They were no longer fearful of what they had seen. This is a kind of a new song that's in their heart. Fear has been abandoned in their heart now, and they just went. Now, we'll come back to that here in just a moment, but they have a childlike wonderment happening inside of them. How many of you who have had kids have seen your kids wander off, and you're like, I can't believe they did that? And you got yourself, for Jonah, when we went to the zoo, we'd always attach him to, I know it seemed cruel, I didn't care, but to a dog leash. Now listen, I didn't want to pay the $50 for that monkey, cute monkey packet. Retractable dog leash at the Dollar Tree is $1, guys. But he ain't running. I love that abandonment of fear in him. The fact that he would go into the lion's den if I allowed him. And this is the childlike wonderment they have. They have just seen the glory of God. They abandon all their fear, and now they're getting ready to enter into the season of joy, and they have this, I gotta see it attitude. When you see the visible glory of God and you feel the weight of the glory of God attached to it, you find yourself going, I gotta see Jesus. I gotta seek out this Jesus. You can't not. Because remember, when I come back where we left off here just a second ago, leaving is a big deal for them. Right? They lose a sheep. Those sheep are accounting for them. They lose their livelihood. Don't miss this. Remember, the sheep are their livelihood, and they are going on this crazy journey, and it doesn't say they brought the sheep with them. It says they went, leaving behind those sheep. Who's overseeing them? These sheep could be destroyed. This is huge, because they can't even lose one. What they did is incredible. They sacrifice. These shepherds aren't sacrificial men. It's risky. It's crazy. It's the first time that they're stepping out in their faith. What does it look like when we see God's amplified visible glory? The last thing we see this. His visible glory will change your perspective. His visible glory will always change your perspective. And this is such a sweet, sweet part of the story. I love this part. Now use your imagination if you can for just a moment. I want you to think of this scene. Here we have shepherds. They're kind of showing up, right? And they see Jesus. That was his nickname. They see Jesus lying in a manger. And they proceed to tell the angels what were told, or tell Mary what the angels told them, right? Mary doesn't freak out though either. This is important to see. She didn't go, are you kidding me? This is a group of shepherds. I can't believe them any further. I can throw them. No, she doesn't do that at all. The passage says she hears them and she listens to them. Everybody else is going around and they're saying, what in the world? And Mary's going, no, I'm storing all these things up in my heart. This has been a crazy train and I love it. This is huge in and of itself because what the shepherds do next blows me away. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, right? They returned glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now I want to make sure you catch this because it can easily be just plowed through. We're not going to plow through this. They go back to being shepherds. That's a big, big deal. Here's why this is big. And I totally identify with this part of the story. Nothing changed for them. Nothing has changed in their social standing of being a shepherd. They're still not trusted. It's not like suddenly since they had heard from the angels and they had gone to the manger and they had seen this baby that they would be heard as given a true testimony. They're not suddenly trusted in society's eyes. They're still going to be despised. They're still going to be looked at and go, yuck, it's a shepherd. And here's what's beauty. They left rejoicing. That's what the glory of God does. Right? Look, I can still go back to Counts Grove, and there are still people that can look at me and go, it's just a matter of time. 22 years later, just a matter of time until that kid screws up again. Look, I've screwed up a lot since then, but the glory of God has shown around me, right? And I find myself going, I don't care what any of you think. The glory of God shown up in my life, and I can't help but praise Him for it. My perspective changed for that reason. And their perspective has changed for one major reason. They were intimately made aware of how good and gracious God was to them. Do you see it? That's why they're rejoicing. They don't care if they're the low of the low. In God's eyes, they are the best of the best. God was to them, regardless of their life circumstances, their God. And I'm trying to cultivate that in my heart more and more now. Because God is glorious and beyond gracious. Amen? See, I've lived with it backwards too many times in my life. I thought, when my life is just the way that I want it, I can be grateful then. That's true. I'm happy to be grateful in the good times, right? But in reality, it doesn't work very well that way. When we're grateful first, before, when we're grateful in the yuck, when we're grateful walking through the mess, man, we can see so much more clearly. We can see from a different perspective. This is where our lives will change and huge dividends come out of it. The Apostle Paul says it this way, and I want to hope to encourage you with this today. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, just so you know, you are with unveiled face, or if you are a believer in Christ, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Right? I'm being transformed into the image of Christ. You're being transformed into the image of Christ. That is a huge promise to behold. When we encounter His visible glory, it should change us and all that we do and all that we think. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Is we're going to take time to really behold His glory in this story again this year. It's not just the nativity scene. No, it's the life-changing scene. It's the thing that had it not happened, there's no resurrection. There's no dying on a cross. There really is no hope. And we're just adventing the rest of our lives. The only advent we have left is waiting for the last half of that promise. He's coming back again, right? Oh my gosh. Will you just take the time to simply bask in His incredible gift to us? I know it doesn't feel like it's an incredible gift when you're exposed, but He says it is because I forgive. I know we have a lot of things to do. I do too. I have things to do. I get that. I'm not trying to say you don't need to do those things. Here's what I will say. More so this. As you do those things, will you keep in mind to keep your eyes centered on Him? With an unveiled face, beholding the glory of Christ the Lord. So we're going to just take our time now to pray and ask for nothing. Just simply glorify Him. Think of the incredible gift He has given you. And then we're going to close out that prayer with songs of praise and glorify His name. Will you just bow your heads as we prepare to worship some more?
Oh,